anything?
I guess I have one.
Yeah. Please, Michael.
Not much, but I'll stand here anyway. I've been opposed to it, you know that, basically, you know that, it's out of the WAC meeting. Where I voiced my opposition, I don't want to do it again right now.
Michael Lockaby. I'm just announcing you.
Present.
Yeah. And your question or concern?
Yeah, I've been opposed to the move, as I stated before, as you've heard at the WAC meeting, so have you, Mason. And I stated my reasons, I'm not going to restate them right now, but in, until you can provide some numbers to offset those reasons I brought up, I'm not willing to support or. I mean, there's no doubt it's going to cost, say, a little bit, and say, undue burden. The undue burden always falls to the consumer, and that's me. With all respect to AML, done with it for 40 years, long as you've been around and all the other ones, it doesn't end up with you. You have to charge, you have to charge. I get that. You know, including the fuel. Hopefully next year you drop a little bit of that, it goes down, but we'll see. But until you come up with some numbers, Mason, I mean, the numbers, what's it going to cost? You can do it by containers, by pounded, by container pounded, by pallet. Some idea of the additional cost to the consumer. And the cost to the community is going to have to come out too. I'm not going to look at that thing yet. But either way, you put a new one in here, you put a new one out there, you're going to pay for a new one.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
I appreciate your comments, Mike. And yeah, that's exactly what we'll do in the MOU is look at the cost of, I mean, this is really a framework for investigating this alternative jointly. With an entity that's ready to help us make that investment potentially as a public-private partner. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully that comes out in the future. I realize you're talking about a year, almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
But until then, I'll hold my tongue. When I do, it's mine and you don't have to listen to me. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Winston Davies, 4 miles of Mobile, and I kind of echo what Mike said. I'm concerned with the numbers thing. To me, this can be proven with numbers. If you can prove to me that's not going to raise the prices, I'm all for it. I think that's a great site for it. This site right here has worked. Stuff is delivered on forklift. It's quick. It's efficient. It's cheaper. I've heard that it's going to, the cost is going to go down because the main lines are going to come in here. I've heard that's not true. So if AML or Samson can guarantee us that the main line is going to come through, we're going to put a side load barge here, that might convince me, but I haven't heard that. I don't know if that's part of the MOU, because if it's not going to be on the main line, prices, they're going to go up, guaranteed. You're going to need more infrastructure out there, you're going to need more employees, more trucks, right? Fuel, all that. It's going to raise prices. I just shipped stuff down from Juneau. 50 cents a pound for household goods. When I order aluminum for the shop, it's 30 to 32 cents a pound, right? It's going up. And it's already high. Last time I applied for a grant, we qualified because we had 50% of our students were below poverty line, right? Like, times are tough right here, right? Like, people can't afford houses, people can't afford their utilities, right? And then we're going to throw added costs on the goods that they buy. I can't get behind that. Again, if you can show me the numbers that is not going to raise our prices. And I'm a little bit worried about that because, you know, Mason made a comment that he just had the conversation with DOT about the highway today. And we're talking about looking at a study to see what the numbers are. I mean, I'm worried that the due diligence hasn't been done here on this. And we're going to sign an MOU before we figure all that stuff out.
Well, the MOU is to get us to talking and to working together. And that's all it is.
Okay.
It's, as Dan said, and I think Corey said, it's a roadmap.
And I, you know, in talking to people, I know, you know, it's been said several times that, you know, we just want to do what the people want. And most people, I shouldn't say everybody, most people I talk to are not for this because they're worried about the same thing. So, yeah.
Well, if we repair the existing barge ramp, that's going to cost us money. And I don't know how much. If we try to restructure the temporary and do that, maybe 20 million is too high. But I hate to spend, just between you and me, I hate to spend a lot of money on engineering to see what the true cost would be. And then we've got the 6 mile mill site. So there is a way to save this with the MOU. And I have an idea that I'll share with the assembly when it comes to action. But I hear your concerns. And actually, we have the same concerns as you. I don't know if we can guarantee a drop in rates or a status quo in rates. I don't think we could, no matter what we do, I don't think we could guarantee, nor do I think Sampson and AML could guarantee that.
But I don't know. My thing is, if there's an option to keep it in town, that's what we should look at first. I get that it's expensive to build that in out there.
Okay.
Something else, I guess, while I'm on that is, all those trucks that are down here at Trident, they got to go through town anyhow to get to the mill, right? So,
right.
So if that barge is there, it's a quick transition. Right now, all those, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but this is how I perceive it. Maybe other people perceive it as well, but all of those containers, I don't know how many containers we're doing a day from Trident, 20 a day. I mean, there's a lot of containers down there. I saw a lot going on the barge. Every single one of those, as far as what I've been told, has got to go through town and go up Audison's Hill. That's the only access point. When you roll through Petersburg, there's no hill to negotiate. You're just rolling right through town. I'm not sure if Sitka's the same way, but that is kind of a choke point there. So we're talking about bringing all these container vans back and forth from Trident and I guess from the mill site into town to bring the goods to the grocery stores. Meanwhile, there's all these tourists walking around down in that area. That it's gonna be very congested. So to me, that's another reason to keep it in this area. I understand that barge ramp was decommissioned, but I'd like to find a way to keep it here. So
keep it where it was originally.
No, like on the field. Like somehow when I went to the ACL meeting back in May, I guess it was, right before I went fishing, and I hadn't really thought about it. But when I left there, I had a good feeling that, oh, we're gonna put the cruise ship dock in here, and we're gonna put barge ramp there. And I was like, okay, we've got this solved. This is a good solution. And I didn't think about it. Then when I saw that, you know, that we're doing an MOU for the 6 mile site, it was like, what changed? So
We did have representatives that made a last minute trip from AML. I believe they were in Petersburg for an event.
Customer appreciation event, yeah.
Customer appreciation, and they took the opportunity to come visit Wrangell. And we took them to the site that Sampson is currently using. And there were, during that time, there was no Sampson activity as such. But there was quite a bit of activity, as you realize, at the Marine Service Center. And then we took them out to the 6 mil site, and they thought that was very favorable. So that's kind of spurred us to that direction.
Yeah.
But we've not made any decision. We're just trying to get that agreement together with Sampson, AML, and the city and borough. So do you think the waterfront development and the barge, maybe in the current or the decommissioned barge, do you think they could coexist?
I think so. Like, yeah. I said, when I went to the ACL presentation this spring, like, I thought we had a good plan. You know, that aerial photo of it, and obviously not right where it's at right now, but you know, coming off the you know, mill site or something is how I remember seeing it.
Right.
So,
okay. Well, thank you.
So
Dave Powell.
I have a couple things. If you guys, I mean, if the town thinks that, you know, this town has always had and I'm here. I mean, I same way, lowest rates around. I mean, we've actually, our harbor rates were really low, and all of a sudden now the state doesn't pay us anymore. We got to take care of our harbors. We got to take care of everything. Our freight out here has been basically subsidized by Wrangell. Okay. The cost for doing freight out here has not been close to for charging AML and Sampson, which is the way it's been. But if we go and put this facility out here, and I don't care if it's $6 million or $25 million, it's coming out as taxpayers' monies or a grant But we're gonna have this, we're, if you don't think the rates are gonna raise because that money was there, you're crazy. It doesn't matter where this is gonna go. If we have to spend $25 million to do this, it's not free. So I'm kind of confused why everybody thinks that the freight rate is gonna stay the same, because we're gonna have to raise our more, the port fees. And for that, we're, you think AML and Sampson are gonna say, well, oh wow, you guys raised your rates, we're not gonna pass it down to the consumer? They're going to. But we can't stop that. Even no town can stop that. No council can stop that. That's going to happen. We're in this together. So whether we put it there or we put it out there, I'm sorry. And I mean, I own a business and I run a business, and I don't want to see any of my freight go up, but I guarantee it's going to. One way or the other, we got to build a facility. So the freight's going to go up because we got to charge for that facility to be used. If we come into an agreement between us, hopefully it won't go up very far, but it's going to have to go up. I don't understand. It's economics. Okay. I mean, it just is. It doesn't matter where it goes.
Thank you. Assembly Member Robbins.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Borough Manager if for the public, he could explain the difference between MOU, MOA and legally binding contracts, because there seems to also be confusion about what
an MOU is
and what this MOU is going
I appreciate the question, Assembly Member Robbins. So an MOU is really an overreaching framework of how you're going to pursue an initiative or a project jointly with another party. An MOA can be a more specific version of that. Oftentimes you'll see an MOU as an umbrella covering abundance of things, and then the MOA targets certain functions underneath that. Non-binding means that there's no financial commitment. There's no remedy if one of the parties doesn't follow through. Anybody can get an MOU, and I know Attorney Luce is here saying the same thing, shaking his head. But it's really the parties coming together to show good faith in executing their responsibilities, which we think is a good one. So that's kind of the distinction.
And the other thing, to answer Sylvia's question, I'm in business too, okay? And I don't want to spend $75,000 to get a definite number when we're trusting PND to give us estimates that they've done this for a long time. Why would I spend taxpayers' money to get a 100% number that may be in the sky anyways, because you might run into other problems?
Because PND has the experience and has done this.
They gave us estimates is what I'm saying, okay? Right. So why do we, it's a verbal estimate. They went and looked at it and they gave us verbal estimates. And that's what I'm saying. You want to spend $75,000 of taxpayers' money to get a positive number? I'm confused.
I want to know what that estimate entails. Does that estimate, is that estimate taking pilings out and rocking around the pilings? Is that estimate just bringing
it's rock just a broad up? Estimate is all they gave us. So, I mean, you could, if you want us to spend the money, I would be happy to put that out for the people to vote on.
I think you're offline.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do too.
Wait a little bit, Sylvia? Yes, please state your name and any questions or concerns.
Sure. My name is James Freeman. Jim Freeman, some people know me. I think everybody's here for the same reason. We're all on the same team here and there. We're here. Okay. I think it's a bold plan. I think going into the future is important. First started coming up here to Wrangell in 1980. There's been a lot of changes. I applaud the youth. I applaud the visions. There's a time. So these are all legitimate questions and concerns. You're a businessman, so am I. And I understand that when you do something, there's a cost involved. Sometimes the cost to do something here is bigger than a cost somewhere else. Sometimes it has to do with a business question, if there's one. In terms of the relational, you have a population somewhat going down. Harvard, I know, because I've been paying for a long time, costs have gone up. So have taxes. So I think concerns come in as to how that's going to impact your common person. And do we get to a spot where your revenue coming in from businesses and people moving here and your school system is growing instead of shrinking? all of those things will impact your cost. Now, I've been doing construction and been a COO of a company for a long time. And I do know times change. We're going through that right now. Times are changing. We don't have a military anymore. That's for sure. But there are other things, data centers, possibly new business that can come in. But when you're looking at impact, and I know if I was talking to AML or whatever, the increased vehicle maintenance, now you're increasing from this mileage to that mileage, more wear and tear on the roads. We can't even take care of the infrastructure we have in town. There's roads spitting, I'm living on one, hasn't been repaired in 30 years. So, or at least a long time. So we have those things to manage. And I think we have enough resources in this town with people who've had experience in those things that maybe if we're working in the private, like we're talking about, private, public sector working together, you got a huge brain trust right here and right here. You just need to pull together and talk about it and take the expert advice from your people who are coming in saying, yeah, there's no question. You're 100% right. No way we can keep those prices from going up. Cost of fuel, that's a pipe dream. You think that's going to happen. But we can mitigate how much they with a plan.
Thank you. How about this? Is a good conversation. Yes. Can I ask Amber to come up? I'll try to get and then come around to you.
Yeah, so I just want to speak to the conversation that was just had between Sylvia and Assembly Member Powell. P&D did not pull a number out of the air. P&D provided a rough order of magnitude for a project that was laid out by us collaboratively. And that did include the old mill site, removing all the pilings, moving that entire dock that is there. The cheaper option, according to them, without really putting it all on paper and doing engineering assessment, was to provide that same area, and I think a little bit more. I think it was like an acre, a little over an acre of area. Return that same space to us with fill, which is the cheaper option than doing a piling facility. And then we looked at options to either put a sheet pile face or a dock to come up to the front and dock there, much more expensive. So it really was just a fill with I don't remember the slope, but whatever it is, like 1-3 slope. And I think it's to negative 30. I think negative 30 is what the slope would be. The other big thing that was going to drive the cost is the T-dock. It's adjacent to that. It will require a sheet pile to be installed there to separate that fill, you know, at that southern end of the dock up against the T-dock there. So that drives the cost as well. So in general, that was the layout for the project that they gave us a rough order of magnitude of about $20 to $25 million.
So there was a cheaper option that they gave you?
That was the cheaper? Just analyzing fill versus a pile supported.
What was the rough order of magnitude for the fill?
We didn't get into detail. So, you know, we were trying to ascertain, you know, what if this was a feasible project for Wrangell by going through this very high level assessment of what this project would look like and getting a ROM for that. When we heard that value, we said it's not attainable. And that was what you saw Winston with the ACL doc together. That was what we were working on with P&D at that time. But at that level of cost, you know, we just thought we can't afford that. That's what I have to share. Yeah.
And Amber, correct me if I'm wrong, that didn't include a barge ramp. So That was the filled out space with the sheet pile to protect the concrete T-dock for the Marine Service Center. 1 acre, roughly. The current yard, barge service yard, is 1.9 acres over here.
Yeah.
So 1 acre, obviously, constrained space. And you're going to see all the activity in the Marine Service Center. So, and another biggest assumption that was made is the assumption that we need to reroute traffic corridors downtown because we don't have enough turn radius anywhere else but the cul-de-sac. And that was something that was discussed and not as part of that figure. So a little bit of context, we have under $4 million in the ports and harbors in that enterprise fund. There's no private sector partner that's going to come to the table with $25 million because the amount of time it would take for Wrangell to pay that back would be in 3-4 generations from now. Of course, we want to have heightened economic development activity to help sweeten the pot in that respect. But the private sector ain't going to fund it. We don't have it. That's the truth. And it's kind of across the board. I know that Jim or Mike mentioned roads. Same thing. You know, we're operating a lean machine right now. I wish that road project that we're pursuing right now was done 20 years ago. Because you look at the ducktail iron coming out of the ground, it looks like Swiss cheese. Well, no wonder City and Borough of Wrangell didn't do anything for, you know, a lot of years. I think this is the cards we're dealt. We have to be practical and real with our assessment. But I think the cost estimate was substantiated by PND. We trust them. They've done most of our harbor work here in Wrangell. They're doing a Wrangell Harbor Basin project. And yeah, are some cost estimates high? Can they be reduced? Absolutely. But a $20, $25 million alternative, where's the money come from?
Yeah. And this assembly, I know you've seen improvement in infrastructure, and we are going out for economic development and just to make the community stronger. And there has been a delay in rehabbing our infrastructure, and there's been delay in trying to boost our economy. So this is what we're aiming to do here. Assembly member Robbins.
Yeah, I just have something to say similar to you, Madam Mayor and Borough Manager. We know about the infrastructure issues. I also live on a pretty unwell kept road. It's something we're dedicated to doing on this assembly with this administration. We're also trying to backpedal decades of poor management prior. We only have so much money that we can use to do these things. And so that's why it's great. We're doing City Market Hill. Super excited about that. And then we'll move on to the next one. We can only chip away at it so quickly.
Yeah. But rest assured, we're marching forward. Michael, we're being videotaped. So if you could go to the podium, please, with the microphone.
I just want to clarify one of the comments I made. Because of what the councilman, assembly member Powell said. First of all, David, I agree with you. I thought that would get a momentous applause.
We're shocked.
You, but you know, I want to clarify, I was trying to say, based on what you're saying, the freight is the train. I commented about AML, they can do what they do. I get it. New facility, yes, it's going to cost more. I was more concerned with taking a look at the difference of 12 miles, because every truck that comes in has to go out. If it goes out with freight, it has to come back empty. David, your business is responsible for, at a guess, hundreds of thousands of pounds of freight.
Yeah.
A year. My family businesses are responsible this year, so far, for 3.5 million pounds. That's going to go out that route. And there's more of us that do that. If the rate changes much because of the difference between here and there, this is my point, somebody in the chain of what we do is going to have to lower the price that we get paid. And the price sucks now. They drop the 3 cents and we're out 10% issue. The difference, my point of the whole comment is, number one, I agree with David, doesn't have very often. But number two, it's the difference. How much more expensive is it going to be? When you crunch the numbers, keep that premise in mind for the consumer. Thank you.
Thank you. And we will keep the community informed along this path that we're trying to tackle here. Dale, would you come to the podium, please? Any questions, concerns?
Dale Parkinson, I don't know if the state has been brought into this. Zamolia Highway is a state highway, correct?
Correct.
In the wintertime, are they going to lift the weight restriction?
He wasn't here.
Yeah, we talked about this. There is no weight restriction. We checked with DOT.
And the other side of it is we don't even have these scales in town to assess that anyway.
In the past, I had a job held up because heavy machinery couldn't, heavy equipment could not be brought into my property because of a weight restriction in the winter.
Oh.
Now, there may have been, there'll be a smoke blown up my skirt about that. I was just concerned about that. Also, if I remember correctly, that in the wintertime, those AML trucks have chains on their tires. And I'm concerned about the erosion of the downhill road right by there. And since I live on the path to the new facility, I'm just wondering if we are, if the state has weighed in on the repairs that are going to need to be made on the road due to the chains in the winter. And do we have any slush fund or trust fund for repairing the roads in the city due to the chains that are going to be on the trucks? Because they're going to be going in and out, uphill and downhill. That's going to be quite a wear factor on the immediate local streets.
Good point. Thank you. Any other, Sylvia? One more. Okay. This is a good workshop. I like all the input.
Sylvia, 12.8 mile, Sylvia. One of the things that came to mind when we're talking about congestion in the Marine Service and lack of congestion when it comes to 6 mile site. Are you moving Trident?
No.
Because if you're not moving Trident, those containers are still going to be going through from Trident to get out to the 6 mile site. So they're still going through that area. The other one is that we're talking about which cul-de-sac are we talking about on the turning of the, talking about the cul-de-sac over by my shop?
Yep.
You know, I'm there every day and I don't see that many trucks coming through to make a turn. They're doing pass out at the current T-dock.
He actually said that when we had the ramp going, that's the way they went out.
But we already have said that that option is
right.
The ramp's decommissioned. And we're talking about the difference between being at the Marine Center, other than the price, other than the cost. And also, you know, the cost, as Amber explained, thank you, is the sheet pile and the rock and the removing of the pilings and everything else. And is there an option of phasing that where, since we're doing the fill with revenue bonds on that fill can go up to a point that expands out there and then have a phase that takes out the pilings and moves from there. But more than anything else, I'm just sitting here thinking, well, unless you move Trident, you still have all those containers still going through that yard.
If I might clarify for us and I think for Sampson as well too, I don't want to speak for Corey, but the congestion issue is having those barge operations happening along with Trident operations and the other entities that are there working. That's where that congestion becomes an issue, having containers lifted over.
Right.
Things and people are.
What we say, four sevenths of of the annual is Trident.
For AML.
Yeah.
Right. It's Trident. So are we moving Trident?
No, but there's been discussions with Trident about this. I know the leadership reached out about a different loading dock facility that would not go through the Marine Service Center to avoid further congestion. So, and again, I think a lot of this still. Is remains to be discussed.
I agree.
But to make the assertion that we're not trying to create a good deal for our other industry partners was trying to be true from facts. So
yeah,
that's a little disingenuous, quite frankly.
What I'm asking is to ensure that this is an MOU.
Yeah.
So these are questions that need to be addressed in the MOU.
Yeah. Did you mean to say that we were going to move, make Trident move? That isn't what you meant. Okay.
It was a sarcastic question.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Don't do sarcasm to me this late at night. I'm trying to get to some conclusion here. So
that's the way my mind works.
Okay.
We want to do this.
Yeah.
What is this going to entail? It's not just a simple thing.
And that's
shows this, then it's going to go do that. These are the options. And that is one.
That is one. You're right. We've got to put all these pieces together and we're just at early stages.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Any other before I close the John Mason with City Market.
Madam Mayor and Assembly, I apologize, but
no, you're just in time, John. Just state your name and
my name is John Mason. I work for City Market as the top store leader. And this is a hot topic.
Yes, it is.
About town these days and so on and so forth. So I wanted to give you just a couple of comments and so on and so forth. We're all consumers. And after rent and utilities, buying groceries and feeding your family is probably the most expensive costs that we have. And those costs have not been going down. As a matter of fact, between the costs of inflation and other pressures and so on and so forth in the grocery industry and COVID and everything that came before and after, we've seen very little relief as far as pricing index. In fact, I've seen four price increases from my main supplier in Seattle, and all the costs related to that, whether they're inland trucking or cost of carrying dollars over 30 days and so on and so forth. And all this stuff comes together at the bottom line to increase our costs. And although over the last 50 to 70 years, City Market and the two generations before me have done what they can to be a good member of the community and so on and so forth. Times have been very difficult in that we've had to increase the retail cost to the consumer. And those increases 10 years ago were fairly small. And for the most part, a lot of businesses ate those increases in cost just to keep things like groceries, milk, bread, eggs, and other things affordable. I was told in no uncertain terms that $8 a gallon for milk is excessive until I showed them my invoice and showed them that I was making 9 cents a gallon. So it's not excessive. We eat the price on a lot of consumable products just so that the folks of Wrangell and the outlying areas don't feel the impact of the increase in costs that we have. Those increase in costs could be insurance, liability, umbrella policies. They could be the cost of utilities. They could be the cost of repairs. They could be costs related to insurance for our employees, increased wages, and so on and so forth. All these things come together to increase costs, and they really are getting a bit high. So when somebody starts throwing around costs of a new container facility that might be $6 million, $20 million, $25 million, and so on and so forth, I don't know that any memorandum of understanding that I've ever read is going to spell out exactly what those costs are going to be to the consumer and to the businesses related, because I also import and move around millions of pounds worth of freight every single year. And so this has a direct impact on me. It has a direct impact on it being 6 miles out of town. And the inland cost increases, or inland freight cost increases and operational costs, places like AML and Sampson Tug and Barge are going to have to pass on to the consumer. At some point, it becomes too expensive to live somewhere because wages and the other costs related to living in a particular area become too high. And then people start leaving. And we need people to come to Wrangell, not people to leave Wrangell. So when the assembly is talking about increasing the cost and trying to fix infrastructure that may have been dilapidated or ignored for multiple decades, I can certainly appreciate that. You guys got left holding the bag, and that's not necessarily a great place to be. But at the same time, we all have to live here, and we have to be able to afford to live here. And so I'm just asking that the assembly please keep in mind that where the rubber meets the road, it's the consumer. And if I'm a business owner or I'm a consumer myself, I want to know what those costs are, because this assembly doesn't have a bottom line. I do. And I have to make a profit if I'm going to stay in business. I can't just levy taxes or increase costs or user fees or whatever it takes in order to float a bond or one like that to pay for $20 million. And you're right. We're not going to be able to get a lot of private equity investment in a small town like Wrangell unless they can see a lot of ROI potential in what the city is willing to do for the future, whether it's revitalizing the dock facility and repurposing it for tourism or whatever else we may have. We need to have a plan, not just to spend money, but how are we going to make money and get people to come here and live? And we have to keep costs down in order to do that, because the number one thing that people ask me when they are thinking about moving here, what does it cost to live there? How expensive are groceries? I live in Seattle, or I live in Portland, and so on and so forth. How do they compare to what I'm paying now? What's rent? What are your utilities cost? And so on and so forth. They ask these questions before they think about taking a position like that, because they need to know what the cost of living is going to be. I want to thank this body and this chamber for listening to me.
Thank you, John Mason. And traditionally, the profit margin is very slim for grocery stores throughout the nation. Assembly Member DeBoer.
I had a couple questions for him, if that's okay.
John, would you go back to the podium?
So sorry. I thought I was getting off easy.
No, you made some very good points. However, the city does have a bottom line that we have to adhere to.
So a couple questions. What percent of your groceries that you get in your store that you sell come on the barge?
All of it.
Well, and, we do get a slight bit of stuff air freighted.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about that. Yes. Everybody wants salad that's fresh. So, yeah, I got to bring some of that stuff in from time to time.
Salad and berries and limited fresh things.
So probably 95% would be... Oh.
95, yeah, very small amount.
Okay. How long, if the barge stops coming, before your shelves are bare?
10 days.
Okay. I think that's the bigger part that a lot of people have missed in this entire equation, that the majority of us have been sitting up here for 3 or 4 years or less, and we got handed a pretty crappy deal. That the ramp is older than I am, and the majority of the assembly here, and nothing was done for years, and we're on our emergency service right now to try to keep goods flowing into this community. If the grocery store shuts down in 10 days, how far behind do you think the hospital, bake company, every place in this entire town? It would be a catastrophic issue for this community to not have barge services. So I think that's the bigger thing in all this, is we have to, as this body, ensure that route to get goods into this community continues in some way, shape, or form, because if not, this town will not survive, period, a month. So
could I comment on your comment, because it's quite valid, and I can give you a very recent and a very poignant example of what I'm talking about. I've been in the in Wrangell approximately 2 years. And when I got here, we had somewhere between 35 and 45 days supply of inventory. And as I mentioned to you, that supply now across the board, when you take a look at fresh and perishable and non-perishable, you're still talking about 10 to 12 days. Most of us remember just recently, we had a problem with water, and we were in a boil order. Does everybody remember that? I went through 3 weeks worth of water in 3 hours. And 750 gallons of it had to go to the hospital because the founders of the company 10 years ago made a handshake agreement that if we ever got into a situation that Hammer and Wecon, I mean, not Hammer Wecon, but oh, geez, I'm going to hear about that. City Market would give them 750 gallons of water. So a third of my stockpile at a moment's notice got procured.
Yeah.
To take care of the hospital. That scenario could repeat itself at any time for a myriad of different reasons. But everybody remembers running over to the grocery store to get a gallon of this or a couple cases of that. So I just wanted you to understand that what you're talking about is not fantasy. It was reality 2 weeks ago.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
That's my my bigger point here is that we're already operating. It realistically, we're looking at years before anything is done. And how many years do we have that we can continue to do what we're doing where we're at before we're out of options?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's been the response of this body in the past, well before most of us were here, that nothing was done. So unfortunately, we're getting handed this and the public service building, which I'll kind of comment, kind of allude to Dave. How many hundreds of thousands of dollars have we spent on studies to see how much it was going to cost to fix the public service building? You know, it's 30 here, 40 there. And that's where I kind of echo what Member Powell was saying is, those add up. And, you know, it, to me, if it's 20 versus 25 million, I don't want to pay the $75,000 to find out. It's unattainable and unaffordable. So, and then every time we do one of these studies, it's what, 6, 8, 10 months before we hear back, which backs us up even more. My point being is this, if this goes through tonight, we're still years away from any type of a solution. And the worst decision we can make as a body is any indecision, which is what's been done in the past.
Right. And I'm bound and determined that we are going to move forward. And Corey, this is Patty Gilbert. Would it be, would you have any objection if this MOU was amended to add Sampson Tug and Barge at every place that AML is included in the MOU?
Thank you so much for including me. It means a lot to me. No, of course not. I do think that one of the things that I've been trying to impress upon everyone is that we have and Dan and AML has also been trying to impress upon anyone. I love everyone that's been speaking. We have an immediate situation, which is one thing. Then we have a long-term solution, which is a great thing. But there's an immediate problem, and we need to deal with the immediate problem. When Sampson was willing to move out and do all this stuff for 6-7 months and go down to the service center, and we took on that additional cost for the community with no cost to the community, while we were supposedly repairing the ramp and the floats, but all we did is fix the float and we didn't fix the ramp, but we were 100% under the impression that the ramp was getting fixed. So we thought we were doing a service to the community by putting out this money. And then there really was no actual improvement to the ramp. I mean, we're all, I love what's been said many times tonight. All of you keep saying we inherited this. Well, we kind of inherited it too, because we were told one thing and given another. And I absolutely, if we can come up with a short-term solution that works great and then keep working on this long-term solution, that's wonderful. But we need to also look at the short-term solution, because we got to make sure that you guys are serviced and you have to be serviced well. That's my concern.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you. Is Ken Taylor on the line? Would you like to say anything? Ken Taylor with AML?
Nope, he's a Sampson.
Oh, Sampson. Yep. Okay, thank you.
He's on there, but he's muted, and yeah.
Okay. Assembly Member Dalrymple, would you like to add anything to the workshop?
No, I just appreciate the discussion so far. Personally, I look forward to moving forward on all of these tonight. I think in a bigger picture, it's very important for the economic future of the community. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. And for the audience, just maybe a show of hands, do you think it is going in the wrong direction if we act on an MOU among the City and Borough of Wrangell, AML, and Sampson Tug and Barge, and investigate the 6 mile? Do you think that's fundamentally flawed, or do you think we know the situation with the old barge ramp? We know the situation with the Marine Service Center. We can still investigate those collectively, but I'm of the opinion, and I don't know about the assembly, that we move forward with this MOU with the three entities and see how far we get and keep the community informed on our progress. Does that sound like a sound plan to you?
My caveat would be if you have the community involved in terms of some of the people that have experience in those areas, possibly actually helping you through that process. I mean, frankly, I think everybody's behind it with that caveat. Otherwise, from everything I've heard, and I was listening to the grocery guy, my business is very close to that. And be straight up, I get it. And, you know, the ramp is not going to be built in 2 minutes or 10 days or anything, whether it's here or there. So there's cost involved. So
yeah,
there's a guy in town here that worked with ConocoPhillips. I know he's talked to some people. I know there's options out there. Maybe you've heard of him, maybe you haven't. But you could explore that and maybe have, to her point, on the phone and everybody else involved, a fix now as we move into the future. Because hearing what Brittany said, truthfully, and in our business, the only reason we've survived for 74 years is by being involved in marketing and having something people want. You got to start with that, to his point. People have to move here, and there has to be a value. Then you could fund all of that stuff. To his point, it would take 25 years currently. And if all these people are gone because they've moved out, you guys are going to be the ones paying taxes yourselves and your own salary. So obviously, it behooves us to work together. That's my point.
All right. Any other comments before I close the public workshop? Dale, come to the podium, please.
Dale Parkinson. I want to know, how does the process work? Let's say y'all sign an MOU tonight. Does this all go into executive session, or does the public get a chance to have at least insight into what is going on? What does an MOU mean?
Memorandum of understanding. And it's, as Dan eloquently stated, it's a roadmap on how to go forward, how to move forward. So you get the three entities together, try to hash out some ideas. You bring it to the public, because we are public. We report back to you and get your input, get your okay, and then we go to the next step. You will be informed, but I don't think there would be any reason, or it would be cumbersome, to try to do it in a group setting such as this. So we come up with a basic plan and bring it to you. Is that how you understand it?
Yeah, a framework, roadmap to get to evaluating the alternative. And depending on what that alternative says, it's how far you get along in the process. So yeah.
Again, I'm sorry, for my standpoint, I think the major thing, so from Alaska Marine standpoint, is it's a non-binding agreement. Right. The party can separate if it's not going the way that they think that should, and they're not getting the information that you think that you should be getting out of it.
Right.
But it does provide that roadmap. It names the responsibilities for all the parties that are concerned, and it has a timestamp on it, mm-hmm, as well too, of when the end of the year here, coming back and having that plain land. Again, I've been part of these discussions conceptually for a lot of years, and without a lot of progress, as you're suggesting. So
right. But an MOU sort of gives us the parameters
just
within to work.
Yep.
Uh, Corey?
Use an agreement to discuss.
Basically, yeah, an agreement to discuss, plan cooperatively, collaboratively, and try to come up with the solution. Obviously, we can't act on it until we present it to the public. And
there is the opportunity to go a different direction after a period of time.
Yep.
This is not a foregone conclusion.
Nope.
I'm asking these rhetorical questions.
That's okay. That I'm glad you're asking those. As Dan said, and perhaps Corey said, it could all come to nothing. And then guess what? We've got to start at square one again, because we cannot live or exist without freight service. We've got to have reliable, affordable freight service. We all know that and are very sensitive to that. So that's what we have to work towards.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, I want to close this real quick.
Real quick.
Mike Lockaby.
You asked a question of whether or not you don't agree with the approval or disapproving of signing an MOU.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm opposed. I've stated some things. 2 or 3 cents to my family's operation backed up to me is a fair amount of money. I'll stop right here and I'll put on my political shoes, because I realize going forward with an MOU tonight does not start concrete in the morning.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, thank you.
There's my vote. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
We're all clear on that.
Yeah.
We're not being pigeonholed into something.
No, no. Even I don't know where a barge ramp.
I want it out there.
Yeah, yeah. And I have no idea how this thing will pan out. We'll do our best. We'll keep you informed along the way. And remember, we've got, and the two entities that are not the city and borough work very well together. So that is a big plus in our basket. And they've offered great service in the past, and they're dedicated to offer it in the future. And let's start the discussion. There's, as a math teacher, an old timey math teacher, Winston, there's a problem, and by gum, we can solve it. And it'll take a little bit of time. If we can round up 20 to 50 billion is the grant, or no, not billion.
We're over.
Yeah.
Because
I think, come on, gang, let's put on a play. But remember the old, well, you're too young, but the old Andy Hardy movies where they had to raise money, you put on a play. But anyway, a million, if we can get that grant. And actually, the way the grant is written, it sounds like Wrangell's name should be in the front of it, because we're doing everything that the grant requires, doing private-public partnerships that we've never really done before. So let's try it. What do we have to lose? All right, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Assembly, are you still ready to go?
Can we take a recess?
Really?
Yeah, really.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a 5-minute recess.
Okay.